Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show is, if there's power in numbers, then the positive change purchasing cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, workforce development, and other African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at Positive Change, PositiveChange, P as in Paul, C as in Cat.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. Please go over to our GoFundMe link, and you can click on that, and you'll get more information on the BSHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative that you're listening to over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are also can be heard on iTunes, and we are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link. Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, you know if you join us on a regular basis that the call-in number for this show is 646-668-2948. Once again, the call-in number for our platform and this show, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room, and we want to bring you right on into our living room, sit down, so we can have a conversation about some of the topics that we have identified that we are going to discuss today on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we try to keep it, as little boys can say, we try to make it plain on this show, as Brother Malcolm said. And it's very, very clear to me before we get into our subject matter today of the show that looking at the nomination of Judge Ketanji Brown for the Supreme Court, which she, this woman has impeccable credentials, and she will be the first African-American woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, I've been trying to follow these hearings to see what all the noise is about coming from the GOP side, but we know what that means. Gas, Oil, and Petroleum Party. It was referred to as the Republican Party. Not that you don't have some folks on the Democratic side that didn't move in lockstep with the GOP. That's why they go to we don't have a voting rights bill to protect the voting rights passed. That's why the John Wilson bill. That's why the George Floyd Police Protection Act has not been passed. So we understand, as African Americans living in this country, that there are so many issues that have to be resolved and dealt with. But one thing that's very concerning to me is that as we begin to look at the energy industry, specifically the solar energy industry, and we've looked at all of the different impediments that's been put basically in the way of yours truly, Ronald Bethea, the president of the National Association of Blacks and Solar, I can tell you right for sure that the Biden's administration may be in office, but what does the Justice 40 initiative really means? And it's very, very clear that folks can speak and have double meetings about a lot of things, but the Justice 40 initiative really doesn't mean a damn thing, ladies and gentlemen. To make it very, very plain, it says that communities of color and those who have suffered more from climate change should get 40% of the benefit from the six federal agencies. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you right now, nobody's out there finding out who is monitoring how many grant applications are being, who's applying for it, and after the applications get in, how many of these applications are coming from African-American grantees in terms of applying for the application process. And believe me, it is not an easy process. You have to be able to retain a professional grant writer. You've got to be able to find a lead entity, which is called a backbone organization, which will be mostly a college or a university, as the lead judiciary, because in a lot of cases, the federal government's very, very leery as who they give money to. And if you're in the African-American community and you got a so-called 501c3, but if you've never received any serious grant money from the government, you can just about cancel that at the door if it's of any substantial funding coming down the pipeline. So there's a lot of things that needs questions that need to be answered as who is mining the store, okay, on that one. But our leading topic for the day is tweaking a tax credit would help more Americans go solar. Now, this is an article that has recently appeared in the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, which is an online blog. This particular article was authored by Katie. Last name is K-I-E-N-B-A-U-M. And I didn't want to change her parents' last name. That's why I spelled it out rather than me trying to pronunciate it. Now, this article was published on the 14th of this month, 2022, March 14, 2022. And it went on to say, to increase solar energy, the federal government has given out tax breaks since 2006 called the Solar Investment Tax Credit. Under the Solar Tax Credit, households and businesses that paid to install solar panels could get part of their money back in the form of a tax break. That percentage they get back has changed over the years, but for solar panels built in 2022, the tax credit is worth 26% of the installation cost. And it was 30, it dropped down 4%. Currently, the tax credit just lets people and businesses that install solar reduce their taxes that they owe to the federal government. If the credit is worth more than the taxes owed over a certain period of time, they don't get the full dollar amount. This makes it harder to go solar for many families, schools, and other nonprofit organizations that owe few or no taxes right now. 7 in 10 Americans can't receive the full value of the tax break if they go solar, according to calculations by the RMI. We can make the solar investment tax credit fair by changing it to a refundable tax credit. That would be a good choice. If solar tax credits is worth more than the tax it owed, people and businesses that install solar get the extra amount in the form of a refund payment at tax time. Taxpayers can receive the full value of the credit in the first year. Helps in 7 in 10 households currently can't use the full value of the tax credit because they owe too little in taxes, and the 4 in 10 households can't benefit at all from the current credit because they owe no taxes. Now, this is real talk, ladies and gentlemen. Now, they talked about direct pay tax credit best choice. People and businesses that install solar can file for a direct payment of the value of the credit at the time of the installation. They do not need to wait until filing taxes to get the payment. Taxpayers can receive the full value of the credit immediately. This helps schools, nonprofits, and other organizations with no tax liability use the solar tax credit without needing to a tax equity partner. Also, it helps taxpayers who can't afford to wait until tax filing time to get the value of the credit. Now, this what I thought was very informative, and I think these are some great suggestions. But I'd like to hear from you, and you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on the phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Please press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number so you'll come right on in from our green room. We'll bring you on in and get your views on this. I think this is some great recommendations and suggestions. Being one that has sort of taught myself to be pretty much an expert in this area of advocacy for people going solar, I think that this needs to be adopted with a number of other recommendations, such as a national net metering bill that Biden should be able to sign an executive order and put into place nationally, because, I mean, it is definitely needed. For those who, once again, would like to join us, that's calling number 646-668-2948. Now, you can go ahead and give us a call, and we're going to take a slight pause for the calls, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand, use it.
helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethea. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, we were just discussing tweaking a tax credit. The investment tax credit could help more Americans go solar. And since we haven't gotten anyone to call in on that issue or weigh in on that issue, we're going to keep on moving our platform right on along, because we have a number of other interesting topics that we want to provide you, our listening audience, here on that join us every week here on Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black American. And it talks about a plan for the lifespan of solar panels, end of life management. Now, this was something that was brought to my attention by Dr. Lillian Abrams, who is one of our leading African American environmental engineering firms in this country. Her firm is called Peer Consultants. She is, in fact, a founding member of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And Dr. Abrams brought this to my attention. And when I saw the article, I jumped on it to make sure we added it to our news and events blog, because this is something that if you're in business, you want to be looking at the future, and this is a futuristic concept of how you can become very, very wealthy in this country. And what I'm talking about is action plan for photovoltaic end-of-life management. This was published by the U.S. Department of Energy's. And it was published on March the 18th of this year. DOT five-year strategy aims to have cost of recycling and reduce environmental impact of solar molecules at the end of life. And this was published out of the U.S. Department of Energy here in Washington, D.C., came out of a recent article. U.S. Department of Energy today release a action plan. There is a blue link for that plan to enable safe and responsible handling of photovoltaic end-of-life materials. Activities outlined. The plan will reduce environmental impact on the solar energy while supporting Biden's administration's goal for decarbonize the electric grid by 2035. As solar deployment rapidly increases, more PV components will reach the end of their useful life and enter a waste stream. Almost 95% of the PV molecules is recyclable. The current economies of the EOL handling are unfavorable to recycling. The cost to recycle PV molecules is significantly higher than landfill fees. Establishing safe, responsible, and economic practices will support greater deployment of solar energy. Ladies and gentlemen, everything in this country is based on the dollar bill, not on the economic or the geological or health impacts of the environment, the land, or the people. It's corporations. How do we save a dollar, and what's the most cost-effective way? And I don't think putting solar panels with the chemicals makeup of those panels in the landfill is a wise idea, because these chemicals can get right into the water supply. As we accelerate deployment of solar systems, we must also recognize the pressing need to address the end of life of materials in a substantial way, said Kelly Backman, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy at the U.S. Department of Energy. We are committed to ensuring that the recovery, reuse, recycling, and disposal of these systems and their components are accessible, low cost, and have minimal environmental impact. This is a recent statement that he read, and it comes from the Department of Energy. Recycling should become standard practice to facilitate domestic material availability, according to DEO's recent assessment of the solar PV supply chain. Now, there's a blue link there, so you can click on that link, and you'll be able, under our news and events tab at Positive Change, and you'll be able to follow that on the PV supply chain. Actions taken now will improve the likelihood that supporting technologies will be developed to handle the PV EOL volume safely, responsibly, and economically, allowing greater deployment and safer and socially responsible supply chains. Under the strategy laid out by today, DOE's Energy Technology Office set to a plan to address PV EOL end-of-life issues through a stakeholder outreach activity, data gathering, research analysis. The Office of the Solar Industry Technology Office aims to better understand the state of the end-of-life through the development of a database that tracks the materials, qualify age, location, cause of end-of-life, and end-of-life handling of molecules. In addition, the Office of the Solar Industry Technology Office will support hardware research, reduce the environmental impacts of EOL, and reduce the cost of molecule recycling by more than half by 2030. Learn more about the Office, the Solar Industry Technology projects to develop new materials and designs that can make PV products that are lasting much longer, less energy intensive to produce, easier to recycle, and less pollution at the end of life. Now, this is an article that was just put out by the Department of Energy here in Washington, D.C., and as I indicated, there's always links there. So we're going to look at this, one of the links under Action Plan. Now, it talks about what is the end-of-life management for solar panels. The end-of-life management for solar panels refers to the process that occurs when solar panels and all the components are retired from operation. There are millions of solar panel installations connected to the grid in the United States, which means there are hundreds of millions of PV panels in use. Most PV systems are young. Approximately 70% of the solar energy systems have been deployed in the past 5 years. The estimated operational lifespan of the solar panel is about 30 to 35 years. Although some may produce power much longer, so while there are not many systems entering the waste stream right now, more systems will come to the end of their useful life in the next few decades. In addition, new materials, designs, practices can help to reduce PV manufacturing environmental impact in minimizing waste energy use, negative effects on human health, and pollution. Learn more about materials and how they work. And there's a link for that. As you know, there's a link for everything. So it sort of breaks down what's in the removing the frame cables jurisdiction box, cut the grid, silicone, set edge currently, remove metals, mechanical separation of glass from silicones, chemical film, removal glass from the polymers, ion exchange. Oh, man, this is a lot that goes into the manufacturing of these solar panels. Why is the PV end of life management important? And it goes into that. It talks about Setu's research and PV end of life management. And this article can get very, very, very lengthy, and you can read this for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. And that won't be hard to do by clicking on the blue link in under our blog that says Action Plan. You can scroll down. You will also find that there's another assessment of the solar PV supply chain. You click on that. It's a PDF, and that'll open up, and it talks about supply chain divided assessment. And this thing is, let me see, how many pages we're talking about here? Oh, my goodness, you're talking about 97 pages here. This is a very extensive report. If one thing the government does do, they spend a lot of our dollars in giving contracts out to someone to do these studies and these reports, because I truly don't believe that all this stuff is done in-house. The question is, how many of our HBCUs are contracted to do any of these studies and this research? So, I mean, I'm putting it out there, you know, it's because that's what this show is about. It's called Thinking Outside the Box. But you'll find out a very, very detailed study, about 97 pages there. And it goes on and on and on from that perspective. Now, what we're going to do here, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep it moving here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. As we get ready to prepare, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause and come back and remind people who brings this show to them on a regular basis. So with that being said, like I said, once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And if there's anything that you've heard you'd like to discuss, please feel free to give us a call at 646-668-2948. Please, as I've indicated, press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. And we'll be right back here on Solar Now.
Someone singing, I can sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, EV, EV charge, workforce development, and other African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic and economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know the show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and as we've indicated earlier, you can get more information by logging on to our website, going over to our GoFundMe link on the BSHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you're listening to that initiative now over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. It can also be heard over iTunes. We're streaming over social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, we shared with our listening audience, those who follow us on a regular basis, a recent article which dealt with air toxins and air toxins data update overview, increasing transparency and providing the public with access to data are fundamental to improving air quality in America. Our commitment is to provide communities, especially those disproportionately facing burdens of pollution waste, with the more complete, frequent, and useful information available for air pollution. Now, this statement was put out by Michael S. Reagan, who's the new of the Environmental Protection Agency. He's African-American and happened to be a North Carolina A&T alumni. Now, it went on to say EPA is improving its approach to identify and address existing emerging air toxin issues in the United States. Providing updated data and risk analysis annually are important components to this approach to communities, especially those environmental justice considerations, have more current and complete information about their air quality, past and future. Okay, and it goes on to talk about how, what is the difference, frequent release, 3 to 4 years annually, air toxin updates. And this is a one pager, so it's not very difficult to get through reading this. But one of the things I wanted to basically do, ladies and gentlemen, because when I reached out to look at this recording that we played part of that on our last show, and it was called National Environmental Justice Community Engagement Calls. And, of course, this was being presented by Environmental Protection Agency. And as we look at the previous calls, the March 15th, 2022 call was not there, but we currently have the link today. So without further ado, we're going to try to initiate playing some of that information for you, peered here on the on that particular call. So let me see where we are with that. Let me get back here and see why this toxin release inventory national analysis. And now it is not playing the actual recording for that particular hearing. And this thing is broken down into U.S. facilities report detailed information on EPA on their environment, on their management of toxic chemicals, including releases of the environment. The toxic inventory national analysis interprets the information and examines trends, releases, waste management practices, and pollutions. And it talks about learn more. There is a summary there. And I was looking for a actual recording that I could play for you, but it seems as though that is not available, and I know I clicked on previous. Okay, here we go. Now we're cooking with gas. March recording. Now we're working.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jordan Zambrano, a biologist with the EPA Indoor Environments Division, and I'm pleased to host the latest IAQ Science webinar titled Using CO2 Monitoring to Manage Building Ventilation, to Manage Ventilation in Buildings. Before I introduce our speaker, there are a few points I need to mention. This webinar is being recorded and will be available on the EPA website at a later date. If you have any questions during today's presentation, you can type it in the Q&A box on the right-hand side of your screen at any time. Questions will be read to the speaker for discussion at the end of the presentation, and if you have any technical questions or comments, you can submit those inquiries through the Q&A box as well. We look forward to hearing from you. I also want to reiterate that the content of the webinar represents the research and opinion of our speaker and not necessarily those of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. With that said, I'd like to introduce Dr. Andrew Persley. Dr. Persley is a fellow at the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST. His research has focused on indoor air quality and ventilation in commercial and residential buildings. This includes the development of application of measurement techniques to evaluate airflow and indoor air quality.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the recording that I thought that you would be hearing. This is more relevant to the Indoor Environmental Division, which monitors CO2 and manages building ventilation. So it's not the actual webinar that I participated in. A couple of weeks ago, and it is what it is. So what we're going to do, with that being said, is we're going to put a pin in it. We know that you have our call-in number. It's 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Just feel free to give us a call. If there's anything that you would like to discuss that you've heard in terms of us looking at air toxic screening assessments. Now, I felt, listened to that particular webinar. I was a participant on that call. And one of the things that was very, very interesting to me is that EPA now has a website. And on their website, you can actually see all of the manufacturing facilities across the entire United States of America, talking about all 50 states. It breaks down where all of your manufacturing plants are, all of your energy plants are, and how many toxins are released in the air by each plant. If there's been any kind of problems at that plant, if there needed to be, EPA had to go in and do a report, if there was any reports that have been put out about issues at that plant, and what was the environmental impact from those issues from those plants that are leaking of these very poisonous toxins that we breathe in the air. Now, people who have problems such as asthma, that is something that is serious. And it's deadly serious, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why I can speak to that, because I lost my niece, Audra McLeod. She was a graduating senior at her graduation party from Bowie State University for School of Journalism. And Audra was simply at her graduation party dancing because she loved to dance. She was like sunshine coming up on a rainy day. That's the type of personality Audra had. and she had an asthma attack, and she left us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about a young lady entering 21 years of age. So we're not talking about something that is far-fetched about does this matter. Hell, it matters a tremendous lot. And the sad part about this, the social economics behind this is African Americans, we have had little or no power over the politics when these large corporations decide they're going to build these manufacturing facilities. They are basically put within 35 miles of an African American community of color. Now, this specific study was put out by the NAACP Environmental Justice Legal Defense Group, which they put out a study. So we're talking stuff that's serious. We're talking about young people losing their lives. People are dying every day because of these issues. And to quantify this in such a way, I ask the question is, looking at how this stuff is tied into the census tracts and the data, how is this information used by our insurers, like your insurance companies, that write your, what is called life insurance? And I used to be an underwriter many years ago, and I know it's based on a statistical table of where you were born, who your parents are, what their educational levels are, what zip code you live in, what is the social economics of that area, median income of that environment. All of this is calculated into your projected life expectancy. And your premiums are adjusted based on this. So if you have a job where you're working and it's one that you're breathing in dirty air that has chemicals in it, your life expectancy is not the same of, say, a person who's working in a white-collar position in a building where they're not exposed to contaminants such as you would say a person who's in the mining industry, working as a script miner, people who have what we call blue-collar jobs in this country. And believe me, this country's going to have to move back to blue-collar jobs because the manufacturing base has been moved out and taken away, and it is creating a tremendous problem in this country when we begin to look at the rural segments of this country, how small rural communities that used to be very, very vibrant economically because the manufacturing base was moved out and because of the politics of our multinational corporations and our politicians being in the pockets of these multinational corporations allowed them to do what? They sent them, relocated the manufacturing base outside the United States so they could get what? Cheaper labor. So they didn't have to pay union rates. So they did not have to pay a livable wage. Capitalism is what we exist in every day. So we've got to look at all these factors, how they factor in and how they impact us, because everything comes down to what? A pocketbook issue. In America, everything's got a cash register behind it. If I can borrow that slogan from Coach Butch McAdams that comes on the mighty WOL 1450 AM radio with his sports show, he hit it home when he said that everything in this country has a cash register behind it. And this is what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking life and death issues. So with that being said, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. We're going to take the time and we're going to sort of another slight pause for the cause, and then we're going to come back and we're going to do the reading of the highlights of our news and event segment from our website, and we're going to have a little discussion here before.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know I'm your host, Ronald Buffet. And you know the call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, we've covered a number of articles today, tweaking a tax credit that would help more Americans go solar. And we looked at the action plan for the disposable of the end of life of solar panels. And what is and how is the U.S. Department of Energy preparing for this, which will be forthcoming? But what I'm trying to say is people need to be looking at opportunities in these areas of recycling, because they're not going to be able to put all these panels in the landfills, not based on the decarbonization mandates that's being put out by the Biden administration and what is expected to be doing. So this country is going to have to ramp up a lot of more installs for solar panels and wind turbines and everything else if we're going to be on the planet. And if you think it's a joke, all you got to do is watch the Weather Channel. It's been out for 40 years. It's not new. They're celebrating 40 years. And if you watch the Weather Channel, it will tell you that climate change is more than real. It is costing the U.S. economy billions of dollars with the impact of the climate and the changes in climate because of these gases that are escaping into the environment, warming the planet. This is a serious, serious issue. And at the same time, then we got folks playing geopolitical politics over energy around the country, and wars are going on and everything else. And the real war should be the fight against climate change. I don't want nobody to be on the planet. These are real issues, ladies and gentlemen, that we are facing today. Not something we're getting ready to talk about in the future. I'm talking about in the church of what's happening now, right now as we speak. And I'm behind this mic. So these are things that are happening. Now, I'm going to sort of move on to look at what we have put in place for your ability to be able to look at
Hello everybody. Welcome to our 13th EPA National EJ in the screen for today. Okay, no problem.
Okay, great. So hello everyone. Thank you all so much for joining us today. I see we're still climbing up in participants, which is great because this is a meeting that I was particularly excited about for our March meeting. I have seen some versions of this. It's actually been a few weeks since I've seen it, and I haven't actually taken the time to play with it live in the last couple of weeks. But I think this is a really huge, wonderful to communities that are overburdened, that are vulnerable, that are impacted. There are many, many generations of impacts. There are many generations of leaders who have come before all of us today who have worked to defend and to improve their communities. And those generations go back to before, of course, our country, before the arrival and colonization. Sustainability and energy, and really a huge focus on climate change. She joined EPA after serving as the Norma Paulus Professor of Law at Willamette University out in Oregon, which is great. You know, that's a perspective that certainly there's plenty of EJ issues and thoughts coming from the Pacific Northwest, but to have somebody as an EJ advisor from that corner of the country is a great benefit beyond just the EJ program. She was one of the first law professors in the entire United States to teach sustainability courses in a U.S. law school. She also served as the founding chair of the State of Oregon's Environmental Justice Task Force. Prior to Willamette, Robin held professorships at Tulane Law School, the George School of Law, and the University of Oregon. She also had visitorships at Washington Lee Law School and Pepperdine. She's been all over the United States, working on environmental justice issues, working on EJ and the law issues. She's been published in numerous academic journals. She's been recognized for creative and entrepreneurial leadership, as well as her ability to develop equitable solutions, even receiving an Environmental Justice Achievement Award from the EJ program here at EPA a number of years ago, in addition to the Leadership Award by the Oregon State Bar, as the founder of the Sustainable Future section of the bar. She's also the Judith Ramilly Award for Civic Engagement and the David Brower Lifetime Achievement Award. She comes from a family of academic and entrepreneurial achievers. Her great-grandfather, an enslaved person, actually became a professor of math and Greek at Bennett College in North Carolina. And her father, John Peyton Morris, founded an ocean-going vessel line here, or up just north of me right now, in my adopted home state of Maryland. She holds a bachelor's from Colorado College and a JD from Arizona State University. She came in. I don't know how many people at EPA can say that the press release that announced their arrival had quotes from both Bev Wright and Bob Bullard, but Robin did. She's probably the only person that both those folks are like, yeah, Robin's our person. So we are very happy. She's come in with just such energy and such openness and such an enthusiasm and a great vision for how she sees environmental justice going. So I'm going to stop blathering on now and ask Robin, please, to introduce yourself, and the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Matt. That was really kind. Again, my name is Robin Morris Collins. My email is collins.robin@epa.gov. So use my email to let me know. I really want to hear back from the people on this call. Again, collins.robin, R-O-B-I-N. At EPA.gov. I'm an African-American woman. I am a lifelong advocate for overburdened communities. I have done this work all over this country. I came to the Pacific Northwest relatively late in my life. I started life in Chicago, 5533 South Dorchester. And I want to say how honored I am to come to EPA at this particular time to work with Administrator Regan. We have a lifetime opportunity with his leadership and the Biden-Harris leadership to work and see delivery of promises to overburdened environmental justice communities, especially as this agency works to deliver relief and as the Biden-Harris administration has committed to deliver benefits under Justice 40. It's my job to make sure that we honor that commitment and are accountable to it. I want to thank Matt and thank the staff of Office of Environmental Justice. I know that you all appreciate them And I especially want to thank them for what they are able to do and to preserve and even to grow under conditions that was beyond hostile. This is an amazing group of people, and I'm so honored to be here with their support and encouragement as we help transition and transform under new leadership. So thank you so much, Matt. Thank you, staff of OEJ, and everyone on this call. I look forward to more work together. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Robin, and we will look forward to having you back in future of these, and you're, of course, welcome to stay on as long as you can today through the presentations. We also have a healthy Q&A portion where we kind of wrap up these, but again, we're also excited and thankful to have you at EPA. I want to thank as well, I mean, just your message that you had there at the end, just about for the staff of the EJ program, recognizing the fight that we all have and the fight that we have all always put into this job, and our eagerness to really see the opportunity we have with you and with the administrator Michael Regan, with the administrator Michael Regan and the president to really advance equity and justice across all of government. We've got a huge job to keep doing over the next several years. We are all so ready and excited to continue to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you were listening to Mr. Matthew, his last name, he's Native American, it's J-E-J-A-D-A. So I don't know what the correct spelling or pronunciation of that traditional name is, but I will, in fact, spell it out. Once again, J-E-J-A-D-A. He's at the EPA, and as you will note that we have come to the end of another edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I'm going to do a show where I'm going to play this entire recording in its entirety. I may do this next week if we don't have a scheduled guest, because I think this is information that our community definitely needs to be able to hear. So with that being said, you know, if you join us, that we spend a great deal of time with trying to bring you, as we always say, news that you can definitely use. And this is one of the things that we have attempted to do here at Solar Now and the Future with this economic impact on Black America. And you'll be able to find this in this recording of the March 15th Environmental Justice Community Engagement Call at the very bottom. And I think it will provide you some very, very valuable information that can be utilized in getting some things done. With that being said and done, we want to thank you for joining us here on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact. And what we would like to say, we don't want you to meet us here. We want you to meet us back here as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, we say go in peace.
Someone singing, I can just sing it.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you sing it?
You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. This is a song worth singing.